And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. An Anchorage resident is trying to find her great aunt, who went to a boarding school for Native children and never returned. As KTOO's Lindsay Brolini reports, it took a lot of work to find any record of her at a boarding school, and the family still doesn't know where she's buried.
Mary Kinnanook's family has been looking for her for decades. Kinnanook is Eleanor Haddon's great aunt. Haddon says that while Kinnanook wasn't forcibly taken to boarding school, the government heavily persuaded her parents to send her to one. She never came back. Haddon says the search for Kinnanook started in the 1960s.
My grandmother, probably in 1960, either late 66 or early 1967, had made a comment to my mother, kind of in passing, that my grandmother's sister, Mary, had gone to school and died there. And that was basically the entire conversation.
After Haddon's mom heard that, she started to research what happened to Kinnanook. Her mom first looked at Chamawa Indian School in Oregon, but there was no record of her. Then, in the early 1980s, Haddon went on a trip to Pennsylvania. Her mom told her to stop at Carlisle Indian Industrial School to see if there was a record of Kinnanook and if she's buried there. Haddon went to the graveyard and looked at the headstones. She didn't find a headstone with Mary Kinnanook's name on it, but there were a lot of unknown graves. Then she went to the archives. There was nothing there either. There were photos of children, but those didn't help Haddon because she had no idea what Kinnanook looked like as a child.
That night I called my mother to tell her that we had looked and then we didn't find her. And we both cried and it felt like we had lost her, even though we never knew her. It was just an incredibly sad evening because we thought we might find something and found nothing.
Haddon and her mom didn't give up. They got a hold of an anthropologist and a historian in Pennsylvania, and they went through records. The researchers found the records messy and incomplete. It's common for records about children at boarding schools. Eventually, they found a record of Kinnanook, an admission card to the hospital. It had her name, age, birth date, and what she was in the hospital for.
Just below her name, handwritten, it said died December 28th.
Kinnanook had just turned 14 when she died. She had been away from home since she was 9 years old. Once more records were digitized, they found another record, a letter written from Carlisle to Kinnanook's father saying that she wanted to stay one more year at Carlisle. But Kinnanook didn't make it that full year. Haddon says she likely died of tuberculosis 6 months after that letter was sent. It's been more than 100 years since she died, and Haddon is trying to bring Kinnanook home to Alaska. But that's not easy, since no one knows where she's buried. The Carlisle Indian Industrial School now belongs to the U.S. Army, and Haddon has been working with them to try and find Kinnanook's body. A forensic anthropologist who can identify the sex and age of a child by looking at bone structure will look at the unknown graves to see if they can find bones of a 14-year-old girl. The Army was supposed to do this 2 summers ago for Haddon's family, but it was delayed because of the pandemic, and the family hasn't heard from them since. Haddon says that the boarding schools had a lasting impact on her family. It damaged their ability to connect with each other. Haddon says her grandmother, Kinnanook's sister, came home from boarding school and didn't know how to be motherly. The schools were run military style and without a lot of affection, and Haddon says that affected her mom, who wanted her own children to learn how to connect with each other.
So it was her desire to make sure that her children knew they were loved and knew that she was proud of whatever we did. We keep saying, break that cycle, because mom knew she didn't get the words of love that she wanted to make sure her children got. So she broke that.
Haddon thinks she feels connected to Kinnanook because they share the same Tlingit name, Ankina. Haddon lives in Anchorage now, but
the rest of me is still in Pennsylvania.
She says since there isn't family in Ketchikan anymore, where Kinnanook is from, they need to figure out where to lay her to rest if they're able to find her at Carlisle. But it's hard to make plans when Haddon doesn't know if they will find her. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
The state of Alaska received nearly $100 million federal dollars last year to support the ailing child care system. It now has a plan to spend that money. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
Last year, the Gold Creek Child Development Center in Juneau was operating at half capacity, even though it had more than 100 kids on its wait list. That's because it struggled to hire and keep teachers. But after an infusion of aid money from state programs, Director Amanda Gornick says things have turned around.
We're expecting to be at full capacity staff-wise, and we're starting to increase our numbers as well in students.
Last year, the state's child care assistance program distributed only about 5% of the federal funds in its first round of grants. Now it has a plan for the rest of the money, and half of it, just over $45 million, is slated to go directly to child care providers like Gornick. She's applied for another grant and says the first is already impactful.
We will have a total of 15 staff members inside our facility, so we've almost doubled.
That means she can enroll kids from the waiting list, so her classrooms are filling up. And she says more staff members is better for everyone.
Kids can feel everything. That when a staff member comes in and they're stressed and overworked, the kids feel it. Having more staff to be able to handle the work, decrease the stress, our students are happier and feeling less stressed as well.
The first influx of money hasn't solved every child care center's hiring woes. Up the road at Little Eagles and Raven's Nest Child Care, Administrator Jamie Shanley says she made a much-needed hire in January, but she still needs more staff.
We are still, you know, actively recruiting. The applicant pool is very small or non-existent. We're really exhausting our resources and finding different and creative ways to recruit.
She applied for $30,000 in relief money from the state program last week. Shanley says the child care market has been broken for a long time. Centers have to choose between paying low wages or charging parents more than they can afford.
We need reliable money. We need to know how much it's going to be every month. You know, something that's going to be long-lasting.
State Administrator Christina Holquist says that long-lasting piece is what took time for the department to figure out. Direct assistance will continue through October of this year. The agency is also investing millions in programs to ease financial strain on families and care centers.
So I think we're in such a great place. It's great to have our plans and strategies out there for folks to see and provide input on. And now it's just about getting all of those different strategies stood up. You know, from some of them are brand new programs. They take a little bit longer, but it's nice to have a vision, and I feel great about the decisions we've made so far.
The good feeling is echoed by early childhood education boosters in Juneau. Blue Scheibler runs a nonprofit that promotes early childhood education. She says the only criticism she's heard from providers is that they'd like to get the grant money faster.
The state, I do think, is doing their best in getting them out equitably and as fast as they possibly can, while also making sure that they're complying with all the federal guidance that comes with those funds.
Scheibler praised the state for listening to providers more and investing in their feedback. The state has begun sending out checks for a second phase of grant funding to child care centers. Those applications will be open until June 1st. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple.
As for the weather, today the showers are winding down to some patchy fog tonight, which will last through tomorrow. Friday is expected to be mostly sunny. Temperatures should be fairly steady, highs of around 40 and lows around 30. Washington state lawmakers have jettisoned a proposed tax on gasoline and diesel that would have been paid by out-of-state customers in other states. The Washington House of Representatives voted Tuesday night to jettison and replace the tax after blowback from politicians in neighboring states, including Alaska. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bonsi reports from Olympia, Washington.
The Washington House voted 52-45 to strip the offending tax out of a 16-year, $16 billion transportation package. The exported fuel tax drew condemnation and threats of retaliation or lawsuits from Oregon, Idaho, and Alaska. Washington House Transportation Committee Chair Jake Fey says Olympia listened.
We heard some very serious concerns from our neighbors to the south and our north and our east about what impacts this tax might have on their economy.
The question now is whether FI's replacement funding source will stick, because it's drawing flak too. The proposed alternative is to siphon off $100 million a year from a state trust fund used by local governments to build vital sewer, water, garbage, and stormwater projects. I'm Tom Bonsi in Olympia.
Alaska Airlines says it's temporarily suspending its partnership with a Russian airline over the Russian invasion of Ukraine. In a statement, the Seattle-based airline said starting March 1st, Alaska Airlines guests will not be able to earn miles on S7. Alaska said it has also suspended its limited interline relationships with S7 and Aeroflot, the largest carrier in Russia. This is KTOO.